This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
It's time for real stories from those who make our region and our country their home. Time for making yourself at home, thanks to the support from the Ethnic Communities Development Fund.
Hello, hello, here it's Access Radio Taranaki, 104.4 FM, your voice, your choice. We are here in the studio making ourselves at home. I'm so excited to the show today. My name is Alina, I'm originally from Romania, and I have the co-host with me, Clara from Spain and Brian from the US. And our guest today, Angelique. Are you okay, Brian, to present our guest?
I think so. I know Angelique very well. She is a wonderful and unique person. She's from South Africa, grew up outside of Durban in a coastal town called Margate, and she arrived in New Zealand in about 2014 and made her way to Taranaki about 5 years ago after living on the South Island in Wellington for a while. She's worked in hospitality as well as event planning, conservation, and is now a personal trainer and business development manager at a local gym, Rampage Fitness. So, welcome to the show, Angelique. It's exciting to have you on, finally. How are you this morning?
I'm very good. How are you guys?
Very good. Very happy to have you here.
Because I remember you were going to come last year and then it couldn't happen. So, yeah, nice to finally have you here and get to know you a little bit better and hear from your journey. How was your journey to New Zealand? How did you end up here?
How did I end up here? Okay, good question. it's a very interesting story, actually. I was back in South Africa and I was trying to start my business there. And then my partner at the time, his brother unfortunately passed away, and he spent most of his life in New Zealand. So at that time, he's like, come over and come check out New Zealand, because he wanted to see where his brother spent his last few years. So
That's like, amazing.
It is. And he's like, come to New Zealand. And I was like, where is that?
Nobody knows where New Zealand is, right?
No. So I had to, you know, open Google Maps and find this little small island. I was like, oh, yeah, and you're in the middle of nowhere, mate. Yeah. So came over to New Zealand and I fell in love with the people, the culture. It's resonated with me. It felt like home. It really felt like home, more than South Africa felt like home.
Yeah, from the beginning, right? So it was like love at first sight, it looks like.
It was. Yes, everything, especially about the Maori culture, is something that really just struck a chord with me.
Resonated with you.
Yeah, the way they respect the land and the environment is something that I really...
And really did you arrive directly in New Plymouth, or did you go somewhere else before?
Wellington. I was in Wellington for a wee bit, and then I went down to Hamner Springs, where I got my first job, and I lived there for about a year. It was so cold.
Man, it was cold. We were going one time, it was so hot.
Oh, really?
What time of the year was it?
I was about to say.
In summer, and I remember that I really, I didn't enjoy the hotness. Yeah.
It can be.
It can be very hot, right? Maybe we were not in the right season.
It was interesting, because I remember one time I went to go wash my car and the snow was packed out outside, but it was so hot. So I ended up like trying to, it was felt like summer, washing my car with the snow and almost no clothes, because it's like, it's so hot.
Yes.
So it does get very, very hot down there because there's not much wind because it's so inland. Yes.
Wow.
So then Hamner Springs for about a year and then Wellington for six and then...
6 years.
Six years.
Wow. Yes.
And what drew you to New Plymouth, or why did you move to New Plymouth?
I was thinking of moving to Tauranga, and we were making a journey from Wellington to Tauranga, because I was like, yes, Tauranga sounds like a nice place. Let's go check it out.
Amazing, yeah.
And I was like, let's go coastal. So we traveled through Taranaki, and I remember the day so clearly. It was so stormy and rainy and windy and just...
Like today.
Just like today. Yes. And it was just so moody. And we were driving past and we went to Back Beach. And as soon as I was there, I was like, I want to move here. I fell in love.
From
yes.
Back Beach or like the not the stormy weather, but I imagine Back Beach.
Stormy weather as well.
Stormy weather, really?
Yes. Oh, I was like, amazing. The passion, the energy, it's just called to me. And yes, went to Tauranga, didn't like it at all. So industrial, no offense, just not my vibe.
Yeah.
And went back to Wellington, and within a month, I moved here.
You moved here? Wow.
Yeah. So me and my partner at the time split up, and so I was like, I'm gone. I'm here. Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
So love at first sight with Taranaki.
It was. It sang to me. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I've been here since then.
Amazing. And did you have like, because you are working as a personal trainer now, it was your the same thing you were doing in Wellington and Hammer Springs, your personal trainer or?
No. So back then I was into hospitality. So I worked in event management. Mm-hmm. So I worked everything from conferencing to when I was in Wellington at the Ridges, I ran sports teams. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. we would get the Lions, for example, would come down.
Wow. And they, so yes. You saw the lions and everything.
Yes, they stayed at the hotel at the time. Mm-hmm. So what I do is I organize everything for them, from their meals to where they train to mm-hmm. the ice baths to everything. So, and I deal with them directly and make sure that we corner everything off mm-hmm. When they come. So, because you know, the paparazzi.
Nice.
Yes, so yes, I was more in the event scene back then, and then I also worked at a lot of like TSB gigs. So mm-hmm. I'd done some audio visual and lighting production work, which was fun. And then yes, and then when I came to Taranaki, it was conservation. So my two loves in life is helping people and the environment. So after the conferencing event management side, which is a bit hectic and long hours.
Yeah, because you have
and
to
weird hours
everyone,
maybe,
right?
No, as well.
Yes.
Yeah, perhaps at night.
It's fun though. It's fun because everybody is like, you watch all these events like, wow, you know, World of Wearable Arts is a good one to watch from the sidelines.
Yeah.
And it's just it's magnificent to see the energy and the time and what goes into one of those shows. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
So yes, so it was a bit, I'm a bit done with that now. Getting older, you know. So yes, so then I followed another passion of mine, which is conservation, and that's when I got into conservation.
Mm-hmm. Here mm-hmm. in Plymouth.
Yes.
Or, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Tell us a little bit more about that. What have you done with conservation?
So I worked for towards predator-free Taranaki. So we ran trapping throughout Taranaki. So we'd work with the rural farmers and rural residents everywhere outside of New Plymouth directly. And we'd visit farms and speak to the landowners and try and teach them about conservation and trapping and anything from possums to mm-hmm. stoats, even to rats.
Wow. And so you help them with that. So if they
put in the traps, no? And
yes,
how
yes.
How to put
them
in them,
the
where to put them.
Yes, yeah. So the project, I was mostly on the rural team and we mostly did mustelids. So yes, so my focus was stoats. And yes, so we put traps on the farms. And yeah, so it was fun hooning around a farm on a mm-hmm. bike, on a quad, mm-hmm. and putting traps out. I worked with a lot of contractors mm-hmm. and the rural community, mm-hmm. which pretty good folk, you know, pretty down to earth. And yes, teaching them how to trap. And yeah, so that was a lot
very
of
fun. Meaningful, oh, yeah. Very meaningful jobs. And then obviously go to Rampage, right? So
yes.
Yeah. How is your work there? Like, do you work with one-on-one or do you also teach some classes?
So I used to do groups, not anymore mm-hmm. as such. Now it's more one-on-one and I enjoy that.
Yeah.
So yes, now I love Rampage. It's a beautiful community there and the owners are very lovely.
Yeah, they are.
They
yeah.
are.
Yeah, I love it there. It's the gym I go to. So yeah, I like it there a lot.
Mm. And Fiona, we also had her at the radio.
Yes, you did.
I didn't know that, but that was time ago, no?
Yeah, some time ago, yeah.
We should bring her back. Yeah.
You should. She's a very interesting lady, that one.
Yes, she is.
She's very much a gem.
Yes. Oh, that's amazing.
So, Angelique, you mentioned that you were trying to get a business going in South Africa. Was that a personal training venture, or was that a different type of business?
It was also in the sports corporate world. So it was a team building event. So it was an event that happens once a year that I was trying to get kicked off. So it's, yes, getting local businesses to participate in a team building event. So similar like an adventure race or a marathon, similar to that, yes. So unfortunately, my partner at the time, he pulled out right in the middle of the planning phase. So we were 6 months into the planning phase. Then, he pulled out. So I was quite gutted. But obviously, you can't help these things. And they happen for a reason. Yeah. And if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be here. So
you wouldn't be here in New Zealand?
No, no. So if that ended up kicking off and proceeding, I wouldn't be here. So I'm actually grateful that happened. You know, there's always a silver lining, I feel.
Yeah. Would you think of doing that sort of thing here in New Zealand? Or have you thought about that?
Yes, we have thought about something similar, me and my partner. So there's
a seed of an idea.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe we can tell us about it. We are so curious. If it's
okay.
Or
just like a little bit, because I guess, not really. No, whenever you are ready.
Yeah.
Whenever you are ready.
We've got some groundwork to lay, I think, before putting it out in the public.
Yes.
Makes sense.
Yeah. But it feels like, you know, there is like a big need in corporation, you know, for people to do some sport, like, you know, movement and be there in the nature and doing something for their body. So, yeah, good luck with that.
It is. I agree, especially with a lot of office space.
Yeah,
people, it's good to get them out and moving. I very much enjoy a walking meeting. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have done any of those. It's where you basically take your meeting outside and
we've never done that.
Yeah. I have done that in the past, but not recently. But I recently started a new job, and I am noticing how much is affecting my body that now I am sitting more like than before. The body doesn't like that, or at least my body doesn't. My body doesn't like to be sitting in the laptop like 8 hours a day. So no. It's nice to put some movement into it or need it.
Have you ever used a standing desk?
I don't enjoy it. Yeah, I have access to that, which is good.
It saved my life.
Yeah. So perhaps I will do that for a little bit, but. Perhaps I would try and get used to that like for longer.
Yeah, get a good pad to stand on.
Yeah, and stand and then change. But I think like, having a break and walking, I guess it's my goal for the next month or so, just like putting some movement in the day.
The day, yeah. And you have Angelique, no?
And how can people find you if they want to work with you as a personal trainer?
My website,
okay,
Wildform, so www.wildform.nz.
Wildform.
Yes, Wildform.
Okay.
Beautiful.
So you started your own personal training business about a year ago,
about 2 years now.
Can you talk a bit about reflecting on that experience of taking the jump into entrepreneurship and what you've learned along the way, what challenges, how it feels to have and run your own business?
It's scary. It's scary making that big leap, I feel, going from working for someone, you know, the security that you have from a good old 9 to 5, whether it comes to income, like sick leave, everything you take for granted, and you don't
have that anymore.
No, there's no security, so it's quite scary going on by yourself and trusting yourself. I feel backing yourself is one of the hardest things to do. So yes, it was scary at the time, but I wouldn't go back. It sounds easy. Yeah. It looks easy. I am quite fortunate growing up. My mum is an entrepreneur, and she's been since I was very, very tiny. I remember when I was younger, when we were moving between houses, we couldn't afford much, and my dad was an interesting character, and he couldn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So she used to make these little chocolate lollipop things on sticks. So she used to set out the chocolate trays and put, you know, chocolate or melt chocolate and put them on sticks and go house to house, like door to door, and sell these little chocolate popsicles just to bring in money to feed us.
Mm-hmm.
And wow. Then, yes, she, what did she do? She sold those back then we called them air drying or air cooking contraptions. Yeah. These are big things. Now we've got air fryers. Mm-hmm. So she would sell those. She sold like barbecue things. Oh, anything she could get her hands on.
She could sell anything, right? Like yes. She's a very good salesperson.
Well, she had to. She had to look after me. Mm. So, and then since then it just grew. So at the moment they've got 3 businesses. So,
wow.
Yeah, so when I was a young kid, I worked in anything from a nursery to a bottle store to everything you can think of. We've had various businesses, so I've always been in that entrepreneurial
world, right?
World, yeah.
With something that came back to you all the time, right?
Yes, yes. So I think I knew a lot about business before starting mine. Mm. So I'm very grateful for that. At the time, I didn't know that, but
you only realize that afterwards, yes. I guess, when you are applying things and you might ask yourself, where do I know this from?
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm. So now it's a lot of things that were second nature I didn't realize come so easily to others. So I'm actually quite grateful for that time period.
Yeah.
It's still hard. It's still hard. You have to be an accountant. You have to be your own marketing manager. You have to be an admin person. Everything.
Yeah, you do all the roles.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So you have to wear many hats. And looking back, I take my hat off to my mum and all the work she put in.
Hopefully she's listening.
Huh? Oh, she will hear.
She's
she
a little far away.
Do you have the chance to visit them and go back to South Africa? Often,
yes.
Or yeah, how often do you travel back?
I try and go every couple of years. So it's expensive though, man.
It is, right?
Yeah, and it's getting
you
more,
guys
yeah.
know.
Yeah. We all know that, and it's getting more and more expensive, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yes.
And how are the so your connection with your family, so you have any brothers and sisters that you visit, or is just you? So it's just you?
Just me, only child. I've got cousins, but I've got a very small family, so very I'm not so close with my dad's side of the family,
mm-hmm.
but my mum's side, yes, very, very tiny. So it makes more sense for me to go home and see everyone, as I'm pretty sure it's the same for you guys, than to try and fly all of them over.
Okay, yes.
And yes, it'll be a bit more expensive for them to come visit me. And I don't know, but I think the older we get, the more I see people fear flying. It's harder for them to fly.
Yeah, I think it's the same
yes.
with my parents. Like, I'm also a lonely, not a lonely child, but the only. I am an only child, and my mom was here, and my parents were here when my father was still alive. But then afterwards, my mom was here because she's the only one, right? For us, the four of us to travel was more expensive than just her coming here. So, but I see that it's quite far away, you know, like and it's a hard journey for her now being alone. So it's being trapped in between that, you know, being here or being there with her.
I think your heart's always...
You're always there, right?
It's always divided. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
A part is always there, I guess.
And how do you do that? Like, how do you manage to ground yourself in New Zealand being from South Africa? How did you find your roots here?
I think when I came to New Zealand, I always thought, you know, kids was a big thing for me.
Yeah.
There was a time period in my life where kids was a huge thing. I've always wanted kids. They're pretty cool, man. They're pretty cool.
Especially Alina's one.
Yeah,
Victoria and Pedro.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
Yes. So I always, it was really a priority for me to create a better future for my kids so they don't have to grow up with the anxiety that you don't realize you have living in South Africa.
Yeah.
So going back, you realize there's that constant angst and you have to step out of it to realize how big of a deal it is.
And how much it impacts on you.
And that you don't have that here anymore.
Correct. It's like this big weight that's, you know, out of your, like, off of your shoulders. So, yes.
Yeah.
It's
and, yeah, talking with more guests from South Africa, I know, they also mentioned that there is this kind of anxiety, you know, being in South Africa is not easy at the moment to live there. So, yeah, it makes sense that you are here. And taking care of your safety.
It's a beautiful country, though.
Man. Yeah, I know.
It's absolutely gorgeous, and the people there are phenomenal, and I like to take old mister over there back home with me.
Did you go together?
Like, have you been together there?
No.
We've yet to be overseas together.
Yes.
Okay. But I've been to South Africa.
He has been.
Yeah, okay. I did a road trip across the country from Durban, which is on the east coast, all the way to Cape Town and along the south coast. Mm-hmm. Absolutely stunning, stunning country.
Yeah,
but I guess it will be different when you go together, no? Because like, yeah, Angelique can show you all around like your roots, all the things that you were doing when you were little. Yeah.
So which part of South Africa you are?
Margate, so it's a wee little town, very similar to New Plymouth actually. I think that's why I feel so drawn to this place. A tiny wee town about 2 hours south from Durban, so the big city. Yes. Mm-hmm. So it's tiny. Everybody goes there for holiday.
And do you have like water or mountain or what do you find there?
Ocean.
The ocean. How are the beaches there? How is the ocean there?
Beautiful.
Okay.
Beautiful. Very, very.
What's the temperature of the water?
A bit warm. So it's about the same as if you go north, so like Bay of Plenty area, that temperature is similar to Cape Town in South Africa. Mm-hmm. So that's where we're positioned. So that's, if you think about that, it's a wee bit warmer.
Yeah, warmer, yeah. I know my sister-in-law, she really loves Africa, so she met with her husband, who is the brother of my husband. She met in South Africa, and she said she never wanted to leave, but then, you know, this guy came, the German guy.
Cutesy.
Yeah, but she always wanted to go back to South Africa. She said it's the best place she've ever been.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
a big
statement.
Yeah. She loves the heat and she loves the people, and because it's quite different. Like, do you find like there are some cultural differences between New Zealand and South Africa?
Oh, massive.
Oh, is it?
Massive. Yeah, what? Tell us a little bit more about what are the ones that you have noticed more recently.
There's so much, I think, diversity, very much diversity, and it's hard to explain the differences in the cultures.
It's a different world.
Maybe Brian can help us.
I think
it's very much back to like roots, like, oh, if you go, like, Sapien vibes.
There's a real, to me, in my reflection on my time in Africa, and Zambia is a much different country than South Africa. Zambia is a very much a developing third world country, while South Africa is almost like a in between developed and developing.
Correct.
And there are very, very distinct cultures that are extremely separate.
So if we meet somebody from like from Zambia, or how that person would be?
I would be able to pick up very quickly that they're from
Zambia. So how do you
Zambia.
See how
Why?
Do you
Why?
See them? Yeah.
There's a look.
There's a look in their eyes.
Yeah, and just face and the way the speech pattern would be, and they very much likely clap their hands together and sort of do a little bow and
like they're moving, right?
Yeah, there's body language, there's facial expressions that I would pick up pretty quickly on if they were Zambian, I think. South Africa, you know, I didn't spend that much time there. I just find the cultural differences that are within South Africa extremely strong and distinct.
Yeah, because I have a friend who was from Zambia. She moved now to Romania, and she was here in New Plymouth for a while.
Nice.
Yeah, she was amazing. You know, she was like, when you talk with her, like, I felt like she understands. Like, I felt very connected in a way, like connection. It feels like they have it. And also when you talk with somebody from South Africa, you feel very connected to them. Like, you get what they are saying, right? Is this kind of feeling maybe what you are talking about, or is something different?
Oh, yeah. So South Africans, I feel they can be quite blunt straightforward.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they can be, but also very, the religious side of things, and then you get the, how can I say it, back to basics, just the appreciation of
the racial
gratitudes, right?
There's a very much a racial part of South Africa where the races are quite not integrated together.
Yeah, that's
and
a
so
sad
that creates
thing.
A
yeah.
a certain tension. I'd say within the country. And then Durban, which is where you're from, you're close to, Angelique, is the largest Indian...
Little India, they call it.
Yeah.
Mm, oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. Lots of India.
Oh, beautiful cuisine. Oh, the curries there, the biryani.
So maybe, our friend Mandy, she was, maybe, I don't know if you know her, she's from South Africa, and she's Indian from South Africa.
Oh, yes.
And she had this challenge she was mentioning to us that... she looks very Indian, but she has the South African accent. And everybody's asking her, oh, you're from, you look Indian, but you're from South Africa. How does
how is that possible?
Yeah, how is it possible, right? So it's a lot of people from different cultures in South Africa, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's why the Indian cuisine is quite vast there, and it's like mm-hmm. rooted in where we come from, because there's such a large community there. Which so you could just even like the smell. It's like when you get into Durban, especially there's this certain kind of smell that you get. Oh. It's just of the beautiful cuisines. Wow. Yeah.
And for you, like growing up there, did you have around you people from different cultures, or how were your friends around you?
I wouldn't say so, because Margate is a wee tiny little touristy town.
Okay.
So I didn't grow up in a big city. So it was very much. Very Christian little town.
Yeah, not so diverse, no?
No, not very diverse. Yes, yes. Yeah. But diverse in a South African kind of way.
Thank you.
Tell us also a little bit about the cuisine, because you mentioned there is the Indian cuisine, and I know that South Africa, I mean, people that I know, they are very much into barbecues and stuff.
Yes.
What is your favorite thing from South Africa?
That
what
you
do you bring
now that you live here?
Oh gosh, yes. I wouldn't say we. They are very big meat lovers. I think that's what we've got in common with Kiwis, barbecues and braais, as they call it. And this is very much in the forefront of our culture. It's where we gather. So fire, you know, it's very, fire brings people together. So growing up. So every social event, it's always, there has to be a fire. And that's how we gather, and that's how we come together. It's always chucking stuff on
barbecue.
Yes, on the braai. And you get those big containers, those wheel containers. And cut them in half, shoot a few holes, chuck them up there, shoot a few holes in there, and BYO, make your own barbecue.
Do you like meet with the neighbors and everything, or is just like
With your friends?
Oh yeah, more friends.
More friends,
neighbors.
Not neighbors.
Yes, remember the big walls and.
Yeah, how is that with the houses? So the houses, everything has a fence,
correct,
right?
Yes. Gate security is a big thing. So growing up, we had a lot of cameras and these laser beams. So these, you know, those
laser
red
beams
ones?
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I used
I'll
to
check your house.
Yeah. So as a child, I used to sneak in my boyfriends, and then they used to be like the Matrix. And I used to be like, okay, damn.
Mission Impossible.
Escape the lasers so that they didn't detect you, really.
Yes. So that the laser doesn't go off and set the alarm off, and
Someone can go in and say that.
Yeah, I mean, it's for me, it was like my neighbor when we first moved here. She was from South Africa, and it was, you know, she just came when I came, and she said like, "Oh, I can't use these windows because they were like, you know, in New Zealand you don't put curtains on in the kitchen." So she was going and she was buying curtains and everything. She said, "Oh, I have to cover everything."
Yes, definitely.
Because she was not feeling safe, and also with the doors open and no fans. So for me, it was very interesting to know that.
So different from here.
Yeah. Here everything is open.
Yeah. It is very much so. In Wellington, the house that I stayed in, we didn't even have a key for the front door.
Oh, really?
It really bothered me for such a long time.
I imagine,
moving here. I think the first experience is when I was in the States.
Yeah.
And living in Florida, I think that's where I had my first taste of world outside of South Africa. And I think the biggest thing that happened there was somebody stole the hose pipe
what do they call it? The green thing that you
hose.
Hose.
Oh, the hose.
Garden hose. Yes, and that was the big thing. And I was like, oh my gosh, all the doors open. It's such freedom. It's so strange.
Yeah, it's freedom. Like, it's big freedom.
It is.
It is so very safe.
I like how safe it's here. So yeah, I like how that. And I'm curious, like going into the future, like where do you see yourself? Do you see yourself like staying here in New Zealand or exploring other countries?
I love New Zealand. I feel like there's so many parts that I haven't explored yet. I've been around a lot. It's beautiful. I love New Zealand. I don't feel like I'm itching to go overseas. No.
What parts of New Zealand are you still to visit that you haven't visited?
I feel like the South Island, I haven't had much time to explore down south, and like the Alpine. It's just
the mountains.
Mountains.
Yeah, yes. We've never been there. We would like to go to the mountains.
Yes, so definitely down south. If I could live there for a few years and just go bush for a very long time, I would do. But I always feel like I'd come back to Taranaki.
Taranaki, the mountain.
Yeah, Taranaki is my home. If I could choose between the Maunga, the mountains, and the ocean, I definitely always go ocean. I'm an ocean baby.
Yeah, that's a common thing we hear a lot from our
in
guests.
In New Zealand, yeah, in
Plymouth
especially.
How people like it here, because we have both things.
Yes.
We don't have to choose between them.
Yes.
Plenty of ocean around.
It is. We're very, 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 very fortunate. It's nice. So I feel like Taranaki would always be home.
Amazing. Because we are heading into our last question, would you like to ask her, Brian, or should I do that?
I can. Yeah,
okay,
sure.
Good. So we usually ask our guests if there are some new people in New Plymouth or New Zealand and they want to make themselves at home, what would you recommend them for them to do?
New Plymouth or New Zealand.
Or maybe let's say New Plymouth.
New Plymouth. Oh, definitely climb the Maunga. I would definitely say go visit our beautiful Maunga. She's a beauty. And the variety of fauna and flora there is just magnificent. So definitely just step into that world, because it takes you back. It takes you back to how life used to be somewhat.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so yeah. It's just beautiful. Yeah, so I definitely recommend that. And then Back Beach,
yeah, the one that you saw first time, right?
Yes.
It's your favorite one.
She's wild out there.
Did you go on the sand dunes, right? Do you like the sand dunes?
Sand dunes are pretty fun.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm sure the kids love them.
Yeah.
They ran so fast, but I went all the time.
Yeah, the sand dunes are amazing.
They are.
Claire and Alina, have you been to the top of the Mount Taranaki?
No,
not yet. Okay.
Did you guys been to the top? How many times?
Her and I have not done it together.
Not together, no.
Okay, I'm a little bit afraid of heights, but maybe I will try one day.
There's not much exposure.
Yeah, maybe when the kids are bigger.
I would like to go, but also like in a good weather day. That's for sure.
Yes, please.
Not today, right?
No, not today. But I'm not in a rush. I guess I feel like I will get there at some point, so it doesn't have to be this year. It can be next year.
Yeah, so whenever you go to the Maunga, maybe you let us know.
You can come with.
Yeah, we could do a trip together.
Making yourself at home hike. We can invite
mountain,
all of our listeners.
Right?
Whoever
wants to join us,
yeah.
You know, please.
Yeah,
the kids want to join us.
At home, climb. Yeah, next summer, perhaps.
Yeah, and I think it's a great thing that you said, you know, when you move to a new country that you get to know the mountains and the sea and the nature. It's quite a grounding thing, and it's a grounding answer. You know, we always have people who are saying like, okay, be part of the communities, or, you know, meet new people. But you, like, I really like your answer, because it's like grounding.
It is. I think you appreciate this place, because standing up like on top of the Maunga and looking down, it's just awe.
it's this wonder and this beauty and this calm, this energy. It's just everything. It's just, I don't know how to explain it. It's
and it feels like you're very connected.
Yes, very rooted and grounded. It's beautiful. Yes. So yeah, I definitely recommend it. You see Taranaki for its true beauty.
We have a last question, if that's okay.
Sure, we've got special guests in our studio today. Yes. Could you introduce them, Elena?
Yeah, so we have Victoria and Petro today here. They are on school holidays. So Victoria has a question.
How long does it take to climb up the mountain?
It depends how strong your legs are.
Very much, how fit you are.
But I think you can get up and down in 8 to 10 hours.
Yeah, I would say 8 is a common number.
Yeah.
Wow. Do you have to sleep somewhere or?
No, in the parking lot before you start your hike, maybe if you want to start early. Usually a walk starts in the dark. Because you want to get down the mountain with plenty of time, plenty of daylight ahead of you, just in case.
And not much sunshine, so you usually start, I think the time I went up there, we started at 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I have heard from friends that do it often, to start dark.
Yes.
And then it's more doable on the way back.
Yeah, limit your exposure to the sun, because the sun can be quite polarizing here in New Zealand. So it's a biggie, girl. It's a biggie. Make sure you bring lots of food, a lot of snacks.
And one of our final questions, maybe?
So I think we don't have any more questions.
Okay. I think Angelique is going to put on a fitness clinic for everybody in the studio, show us how to do some clapping push-ups.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. That will be fun.
Okay, we are looking forward for that.
Yay! Thank you, Angelique, for joining us today. It was lovely to hear more about you.
No,
thank you. And thank you
guys
for having such a big crowd around you. I mean, we are here, 5 of us, I think, 6
plenty
almost
of guests today.
We are all of us coming here to see Angelique, and she's such a beautiful, wonderful person. So thank you for being
for the
here.
Support, guys.
Yeah, amazing. You want to say goodbye, kids?
Bye.
Can I say goodbye, mommy?
You say goodbye?
Goodbye.
Take care, Taranaki. We will be airing this next week and looking forward to hearing from you all. All right.
Thank you.
Thank
bye.
You.
Thank you, Angelique.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.